right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to wrap up this series today on the Holy Spirit. I highly encourage you, if you missed any of this, you want to go back on the website and catch the previous messages on this. All what we've talked about since we started for about 5 weeks now was all to bring us to today, which is how to walk with the Holy Spirit. That the whole was laying a foundation to this. I think this is very critical today, that you tune in and receive that which we have today. Every Christian, when you get saved, there are two modes of operation. The moment you get saved, there are only two ways you can operate. One, you can either operate in the flesh or you can operate in the spirit. There is no in between. There are only two. So sometimes you may be operating in the flesh. Sometimes you might be operating in the spirit. However, walking in the flesh is a lot easier. It's very natural. Your natural desires are still there. When you get saved, you give your life to Jesus, it doesn't mean that the flesh doesn't exist anymore in your life. But walking in the Spirit takes a lot of intention, takes a lot of aim. You've got to be sober. You've got to be alert. You've got to be intentive about it. You cannot walk in the Spirit just by default. You walk in the flesh by default, but to walk in the Spirit takes a lot of intention, a lot of purpose, a lot of drive. And here's what the Bible tells us. Our very key scripture in this series has been 2 Corinthians 13:14, that says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. And as we've been speaking, a lot of us have known Jesus, we've known God, we talk about him all the time, but what we lack is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The whole purpose why we're here today is to walk with the Holy Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and that's what we call the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Like I said, in order to walk with the Spirit or to walk by the Spirit or to walk in the Spirit, you have to have an intention. You have to purpose. You have to be driven by it. It's not just going to happen. That's what the Bible tells you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 6 says, let us not sleep. Of course, he's not talking about tonight at 11 o'clock when you get in your bed. How many know you could be right now sleeping while you're actually looking at me? Amen. You're like, my neighbor is sleeping right now. No, you can't be sleeping right now. So the Bible says, let us not sleep as others do. Okay? But it says what? But let us keep awake and be sober. So the Bible is not saying never. So you can't take this literally in a physical sense. Because God is not saying, well, at night, just stay up. He's not talking about that. Neither is he talking about close your eyes and put your covers on. He's talking about his spiritual awareness. He's like, spiritually, don't be asleep. And spiritually, be awake. Be sober. In other words, be attentive. Get your mind. Find out what's going on. Why are you making the decisions you're making? Why are you living the life you're living? Find out what's happening in a spiritual realm. Got it? So it says, be awake. Be sober. You know, sober is like you're alert. You're watching. You follow me? And then it says, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, look at that. Therefore, with minds that are what? Come on, everybody. That are what? Alert and fully sober. This is what I'm saying. To walk in the Spirit, it takes a lot of intention. And part of it is that Bible says, be sober. Set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. You have to be sober-minded in order for you to walk in the Spirit. Why? Because the flesh will always demand you to please it. The flesh always demands you to do what it wants. You remember when the disciples went on the mountain to pray with Jesus? And then they slept and they couldn't pray for an hour? And Jesus is up praying. He came and said, hey, you, look at you guys. You can't even bear with me an hour. And Jesus said, the spirit is weak, but the flesh is weak. The very flesh that is weak is very demanding. Like us as well. How many of us, you want to pray, but then the flesh demands you to sleep?
Or sometimes you want to sleep, but then the flesh makes you browse Facebook all night. You should be sleeping, but the flesh says, come on, let's get fascinated with Facebook. Does that make sense? The flesh is always working. How many know that when, say, your kids do something crazy, instead of engaging them and taking that moment to teach them what they should do, the flesh gets you angry and riled up, and then you fly off the handle. You're so mad and you're yelling at, because the flesh wants you to act out in anger towards your kid instead of being able to teach them. The flesh is always working. The flesh, when you want to read your Bible, the flesh may just give you other ideas of things you could do. The flesh is always demanding. Or even how about, you know, when people, I hear people say, well, I want to eat right. I want to eat healthy. And the flesh says, but that is so good. Those onion rings are so good. But you really want to eat healthy. You want to eat clean. But have you heard people say, oh, but it's so good. I know it's bad for me, but it's so good. That word, so good, is a word from the flesh. The flesh is saying, so good. And then the flesh turns around after convinced you to eat that highly processed, sugar-lighted, highly fried stuff. And then the flesh says, you are so fat. The same flesh that got you into it is the same flesh that's accusing you of that. The flesh begins to judge you based on your appearance, but it got you there in the first place by convincing you it's so good. The flesh is always demanding, always asking you to do things that are not right. Maybe somebody just does something by accident on you, just maybe kind of steps on your toes a little bit by accident, and the flesh wants to convince you they did that on purpose. They had ill motives. And the flesh works in you to get angry. How many of us have ever got so angry and caught and got so much into something only to find out that people have no idea that they actually harness? The flesh the whole time has worked. When you should be giving others a benefit of doubt, when you should be giving others extending grace, the flesh at the same time is working against that. In our marriages or relationships, when we should be growing, when we should be building each other, the flesh is getting us into fights because the flesh is convincing us to be just focused on ourselves instead of focused on each other. Does that make sense? My whole point today is you could be in church today. Are you following me? Amen. And you get some, man, I was blessed in church today. And the moment you get on the freeway, somebody does something and the flesh demands you to react. I know you're all acting like you don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm just saying the flesh is always demanding.
Yes.
You could be, today you're like, oh, that was great, and you could get in the car with your wife or somebody, and you get into it, and you begin fighting over where to have lunch. And you're like, you didn't even be at church today. How could you just be in the spirit and end up in the flesh in your car home? The flesh is always there. When you get saved, the flesh doesn't die. Guess what? You have to intentionally kill it. This is what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. Read that with me. I die every day. Of course, it's not talking about when we bury people because they die once. Nobody dies and dies and dies. But when he said, I die every day, so I'm dying to the flesh and its demands. I'm dying to those desires, those natural desires of the flesh. I die daily because every day you die to the flesh today and the flesh will rise up tomorrow. And the Bible says, I die every day, every day. Why? Because if you don't intentionally crucify the flesh and its desires, it will always want to take over. Walking in the Spirit, guys, it is not simply closing your eyes, lifting your hands, and saying hallelujah or speaking in tongues. Walking in the Spirit is what you do all through your week. It's what you do at a grocery store. It's what you do on the freeway. It's how you do home, work, everywhere. It's walking in the Spirit, what you do. Now, when I talk about the flesh, what do I mean? The flesh is the natural desires that don't give in to the will of God. The natural desires, the yearning, the longings of your heart that don't surrender to God. That's the flesh. It is what drives you to sin, drives you to do evil, drives you to walk in sin. When the Holy Spirit comes, He gives you new desires that are pleasing to God. Now, here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Look at that. The mind governs by the flesh. The mind governed by the flesh. The mind governs. The flesh is that spiritual force, intangible thing that goes on within you. It wants to reach to your mind and tell your mind how to operate. And the Bible says, if you let the flesh have government in your mind, it says it's hostile to God. So because I don't want to be hostile to God, I want to kill the flesh. I want to learn not to give in to the desires of the flesh so I can walk in the Spirit. It says it's hostile to God and does not submit to God's will. So the moment the flesh takes over, if I give in to those natural desires, the ungodly desires that are just within me, that are always wanting to come up, the Bible says it's hard to submit to God. There is no way you can be in the flesh and be able to submit to God. It doesn't work. It's impossible. That's why it says, and it cannot. Look at that. It cannot. The moment you yield to the flesh, there is no way you can yield to God. The Bible says it's absolutely impossible. I know I'm talking to people that want to submit to God. People that want to please God. People that want to walk in His ways. If you want to please God, we have to have our minds governed by the Holy Spirit and not the flesh. You see, the Holy Spirit brings those good desires, yearnings, inclinations in your heart, and He wants you to follow them. And that's how we follow the Holy Spirit. Because the flesh is strong. I have to tell you that. If you allow it, the flesh would have his way. Here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 7, verse 18. I know that in me, okay, that is in my flesh. Now watch that when the Bible says in my flesh, it's not talking about your physical flesh. It's talking about that intangible force that works against God's ways that is still alive in you. You following me? Dwells no good thing. You remember it said you cannot submit to God? Whenever you're in the flesh, there's nothing good about it. There's nothing good about being in the flesh. As the Bible says, there is no good thing. Apart from the Holy Spirit bringing His life inside of you, everything about you is evil. I know this morning, let's not have a lot of distractions because this is, I want you to just tune in. And if there are distractions, I want you to focus on me. Try to cut out the distractions. What I'm saying is, apart from the Holy Spirit, everything else in you cannot meet God's standard. So unless I let the Holy Spirit come in, unless I yield to the Holy Spirit, then everything I'll try to do is not going to be good. So if I want to please God, my only choice is to turn to the Holy Spirit, yield to the Holy Spirit, need His help, depend on the Holy Spirit. See, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. He's the one that draws you to Jesus, and then He begins to create new desires, a new sense of desires. Sense of desires like wanting to pray, wanting to get into the Word, wanting to go to fellowship, wanting to be in God's presence. He begins to create those. You don't do those on your own. You're not here because you want. You know, I know some people may be here because they had to, you know, but for the most part, you don't just open your Bible on your own. You don't just listen to God's Word. You don't just worship on your own. You don't just want to love Jesus on your own. That's all the work of the Holy Spirit. He's trying to do something inside your life. Does that make sense? He comes in because He's trying to draw you into God's presence. Now, when this desire, so you have to imagine, you have your natural desires, you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in you, introduces new desires. So now, you have the flesh desires, which are your natural and godly desires, and then you have the new desires the Holy Spirit has brought inside of you, which are godly desires. Now, you will always act depending on what desires are stronger. You always act according to the strongest desire you have in you. Imagine a moment you and your spouse getting on each other's nerve. He says something, you say something, you get mad, she didn't do something, he didn't do something, whatever. The flesh now demands confrontation and anger and fight. But if one of you at that point is more filled in the Spirit, at that point, they will act differently because the strongest desire, which is peace, from the Holy Spirit has overtaken them. They will not act in the flesh. And that could be just enough to change the whole situation. So we always act. We always will act according to our strongest desire. At the point, you need to ask either the desires in me, are they of the Spirit, or are they of the flesh? Whatever is strong, you will act on that. So the Holy Spirit comes in your life just to put God's desires that please God. You know, like patience and hope. I mean, does anybody hate waiting like me? Like there's some places I don't want to shop because there's a long line. I don't know. It's I get this impatience in me, right? And it's I know it's the flesh. I know it. One of the things I don't like going to Safeway is because there's no self checkout. At least the Safeway near to my house, there's no self checkout. So you always have to be in a line. The flesh in me says I have no time to wait. I always go to Fred Meyer because I check myself out and I'm out. But many times, the Spirit wants to bring the desire of patience. Because, to be honest with you, sometimes I'm impatient, but it's nothing that is urgent I'm running for. There's nobody waiting for medication that if I don't get there in a minute, they die. It is just my natural fleshly desire of being what? Impatient. So there's that tug of war. You hear the Spirit of God saying, relax, it's all good. But then the flesh says, no, it's not. I gotta get out of here. This is taking too long. They're talking too much. Why did this lady buy all that stuff? She's going to hold the line forever. We all go through these desires, but we'll always act according to our strongest desires, whether the desires are of God or of the flesh. if they're of the spirit or their flesh. Make sense? I'm trying to go slow so you can get what I'm talking about. This is when we were in this state where the natural desire was so strong, the desire to sin and to go wrong and do things that aren't pleasing to God. God prophesied back in Ezekiel 36. He said in verse 26, a new heart I'll give you and a new spirit I'll put within you. A new heart is when you get saved. A new spirit is when God takes your spirit that is dead and gives it life. That's why it's small s, not capital S, because it's not the Holy Spirit he's talking about. He says, I'll give you a new spirit. I'll put a new spirit within you. I'll bring my life inside of you. And look what he says in verse 27, and I'll put my spirit within you. All right? And cause you. In other words, I cannot on my own. I cause you to walk in my ways. I put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my ways. So without his spirit in me, can I walk in his ways? I can't. I cannot please God. I cannot be a Christian that is pleasing to God unless I yield to the Holy Spirit. I cannot be a Christian that brings glory to God. I cannot be a Christian that lets the light shine. I cannot be a Christian that glorifies Jesus unless I'm yielding to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Are you following me? Because it's easy if you're a Christian and never depend on the Holy Spirit. You're not going to be a Christian that makes impact. And I beg to say this. I really think that it's risking your eternity if you choose to be a Christian who won't depend on the Holy Spirit. Because I don't know. I mean, there's a risk that you may miss out eternity with God. Because the Holy Spirit is what gives you a competitive advantage. And without him, you can't overcome sin. You cannot overcome sin. Your willpower, all the programs the world offers you, all the system the world offers you, you cannot overcome any sin unless the Holy Spirit helps you to overcome it. Come on. You can try, but you'll only be off for a minute. And the flesh will take over again. But when you yield to the Holy Spirit, he's the one that can help you overcome sin, any struggle, anything. Amen. The Bible says in Galatians 5:16 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not. I like how the Bible emphasizes this. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It doesn't say the flesh desires won't be there. It says you won't gratify them. How cool is that? Can you imagine having the flesh screaming at you to do something? And you're like, nope. I'm not gratifying you. You walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. In other words, if I'm in the Spirit, the flesh has no chance.
Right.
This is like if I told you, eat your favorite dish and you will not be hungry. Right? Can you eat your favorite dish and be hungry? No. Can you put on a winter coat and still be cold? No. Unless you're sick. But if you're normal, you're not going to be sick. You're not going to be cold. So the same thing is saying that if you don't want to gratify the desires of the flesh, then walk by the Spirit.
Amen.
The opposite of walking by the Spirit is being operating in the flesh. Operating in the flesh, let me say, if I walk by the Spirit, I want gratify. Now, watch, the Bible doesn't say the desires of flesh won't be there, but it says you won't gratify them. So when the flesh says, look at that, you say no. Flesh says, turn on the computer and watch some bad images, you say no. The flesh says, scream, yell, no. The flesh says, do that, you say no. Why? Because you are walking by the Spirit. Is that too real?
I think that we're all just in realization right now.
I think so too.
That's why it's so quiet. We're just taking this in. I'm thinking about food.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell my spirit.
Yeah. I like that. So let's keep going. Let's keep it real, right? Can I keep bringing the word? Just a little bit more before you break it up. Look at verse 17. Look at that. It says, this is Galatians 5, verse 17. Thank you for sharing that, Ariel. The sinful nature. What is the sinful nature? The flesh. Wants to do what? Evil. Now, I don't need to tell you what evil is. We all know what evil is, right? Then he says, which is just the opposite. Look at that. Just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires. That's what I'm saying. The Spirit comes and gives you those desires that are pleasing to God. Gives us the desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. Isn't that cool? Look at that. These two forces. Check that out. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So it fights today, fights tomorrow, fights the next day. So they're constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out good intentions of God's will. You're not free to do what God wants you to do, because these two forces are always fighting inside of you. And you have to imagine that you are now in the middle of these two forces. And if you yield to the flesh, then the flesh would have a force. If you yield to the Spirit, then the Spirit would have his influence on your life. If we are going to walk by the Spirit, then we need to understand the flesh has some force in our lives, and he wants to come against what God is doing in our lives. Look at verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us do what? Walk by the Spirit. Now, I say it a lot, but here's the quick definition of walking by the Spirit. But walking by the Spirit is what we do. It's what we do when the desires produced by the Spirit are stronger than the desires produced by the flesh. Let me ask you, will the flesh stop producing desires in you?
No.
Every day, as long as you're breathing, the flesh will continue to give you its natural desires. And the Spirit, as you yield to the Spirit, is also giving you desires. Right? But walking in the Spirit is only when, at the moment of your life, the Spirit's desire, at the moment, is stronger. Now, if you ever get in a moment where you're like, you just got into the flesh, and you know, that was the flesh. At that moment, you know that the flesh desires at the moment were stronger in you than the Spirit desires. Because you always act according to the strongest desire you have in you. I want to just do a quick illustration. I'm going to do a quick illustration here. How about, let me see in this room. I want to get some. I'm going to get a couple chairs here for my illustration, because we've been. Paige, why don't you come here? And Zach, come. All right. So I got Zach and Paige, and they're going to do arm wrestling. All right?
Luigi on a page.
Now, let me ask you. Now, I want you, does Paige
has any chance against him in arm wrestling?
Yeah.
No. No. Okay, I don't know if you guys, right, but she doesn't. Okay? She doesn't. Now, I want you to imagine Paige is representing the spirit, your spirit in you. Zach is representing the flesh in you. Not meaning that he's fleshy, but I'm just saying, he's representing the flesh in you. So I want you to kind of put your arm wrestling together. Come on, put
come on,
now, Zach, okay, just relax, you know. So, all right, so just put it down. Okay, just put it down there. So this is how you are. Before you give your life to Christ, the flesh holds the speed on, just controls nothing, right? And the flesh is in power, it's ruling. And then you get saved and the Holy Spirit comes into your life. Holy Spirit, Michael, come in. Michael's going to be the Holy Spirit. He's big, he's strong, he's a giant, you know. The Holy Spirit comes to your life. And I want you to play along, so don't try to resist because the Spirit is stronger. So then you get saved and the Holy Spirit, so Michael's going to touch her and bring life into her and you just play along. So she gets saved and the Holy Spirit. Now, right there, so maybe, let's keep it down a little bit. Maybe now you're saved and about 20% you're the Spirit in your operation, but 80% the flesh is still ruling. And you're getting saved and the Holy Spirit, the more you look at Him, you look at the Holy Spirit and you get more life. Now you're about 40% operating in the spirit, but 60% of you is still in the flesh. The more she looks to him, the flesh gets out. When she looks at him, the spirit gets out. You see, it's all about where she's turning her attention. If she looks to the flesh gains more power and influence in her life. When she gets to a point like, oh, I need help to the Holy Spirit, she looks to the Holy Spirit gives her that power. Now, maybe you may be in a place in your life where 50-50 you're in the flesh and 50-50 you're in the spirit. You're just like, you know, you know what I'm saying? You act in the flesh, you're in the spirit, you're just back. But the whole point, the Holy Spirit is here, committed to you. The Holy Spirit is not quitting, it's not giving up. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to look to Him. The moment you look at the Holy Spirit puts life into you and the flesh is being subdued. The goal of this whole thing, the Holy Spirit is in our lives to eventually just get the flesh under. And that's what Paul said, that I die daily. I die to the flesh. I get it down. Here's the thing. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, if a Christian now is like, oh, I know the word, I got it. Now you're trying to fight on your own. And now you're under the law. This is what the Bible says. Now you begin to do things because you have to. You're not doing it because you want to. You have to. There are many Christians all over America that are in church this morning because they had to. It's Sunday, I got to. I got to check on the box, I got to. They're in church because they had to, not because they wanted to. You see, when you do things because you have to, I want to be kind because I have to. I want to go to church because I have to. I want to pray because I have to. I want to read my Bible because I have to. I want to do this because I have to. It gets tiring. That's when people say, I can't do this anymore because I can't go to church because I feel like I have to. Well, because you're doing it on your own. When the Holy Spirit comes in to your life, He brings liberty. Now you're not doing it because you have to. The Holy Spirit brings life into you. Now what you do for God, you do it because you want to. There is a love to do it because the Holy Spirit life is into you to bring the flesh down. And that's how our lives go on. This is what the Bible says. Look at that. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You don't have to do something because you have to. That's what the law is. You have to drive 60 miles an hour. You have to do this. When you're under the Spirit, you're not under the law. Check this out. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. I don't worship because I have to. I want to worship. I don't give because I have to. I want to give. I don't pray because I have to. I want to pray. I don't give. I don't serve. I don't do anything because I have to. I do it because I want to. That is what the Holy Spirit will do in our life when we let Him do it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, here's some things for you to talk about. At the table, I want you to go through that. I want you to read Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 23.
According to those scriptures, here is the assignment.